Good afternoon, brethren. Great to be celebrating this Day of Atonement with you. Great to have a podium to lean against while you stand up here. Great day. At the conclusion of my message, I do have a sermon message. We will take up an offering, so if our ushers, if you raise your hand, if you need an envelope, please use the ones that they provided you. But if you do not have an envelope, raise your hand and you will be provided with one wherever you are in the building. Use your green envelopes, please. And of course, we are in the home office here in Cincinnati or in Milford, and the date is October 2nd, 2025. And the amount is whatever you want to put there. For the wherever your heart decides. Well, this is the Feast of Atonement. It's odd that it's called a feast. It pictures several things. It's a lot of meaning in this day. A lot of times we get caught up in the fasting, which is one meaning of the day. Can't get over the fact that we're all rather peckish right now. What symbolizes, you have the two goats. That event takes place on this day. We think about Satan being bound in the bottomless pit. But I want to bring out one aspect of the day, and I'm not going to turn there, but I want you to write down, make a note of Leviticus 16, where we get the thoughts here that I'm going to touch on for the Day of Atonement. But I want you to use your imagination rather than reading here. Now, you can close your eyes if you want, but it is atonement. So, you know, with caution if you want to close your eyes. But let's imagine it's the Day of Atonement. We're all at the tabernacle or the temple. All of Israel's gathered around the high priest, and he's preparing for the one day of the year that he gets to go before the Holy of Holies. He actually gets to go before the presence of God. Now, what would be on your mind, not if you're just a member of Israel, how amazing that day is, but what if you're the high priest? Imagine what it would be like to be the high priest on that day. Now, we had Aaron. Aaron probably did it several times. Who knows what it was like his first time, but you think about the priesthood. We had good priests. We had bad priests, some who had no clue what they were doing when they did this, some who lost their lives doing this the wrong way, Nadab and Abihu. Now, so think about that pressure as the high priest. Not to mention, this was the one time of year you wore underwear made of the finest flax. I assume that would be pretty soft, but you would know very much so what that felt like, linen underwear. But think about the pressure as you prepare to go into the holy place. You would be walking up, all of Israel watching to see what happened. Is he going to come back out? What's he going to see when he goes in there in the presence of God? In my mind, I would feel very human. It'd be a very humbling experience. It's meant to. The clothing that you put on, how you were dressed, how you presented yourself, was supposed to be very humbling. I could not escape feeling very human that you are not worthy to do this. You're not worthy to stand in front of all of Israel and go in and be the one that goes to the Holy of Holies to represent all of Israel. The priesthood at that time, whether they knew it or not, sometimes they obviously didn't know it, was to be an example of how to be holy. Now, sometimes they did that the best they could, and sometimes they didn't try at all. But that was their purpose. And so to think about that, the entirety of this presentation, this symbolism of holiness, I don't know whether they knew or not that something, they were a type of something that was to be coming. But what would be going through your mind? Now, me, a lot of times whenever I'm in conversations, you say something, it brings up a song lyric. My wife loves that about me. We'll be having a deep conversation, and I'll start singing a Hanson song. She brings up Umbop a lot. No, but I do. She does not care for that. That it looks like, hey, that reminds me of a song. But maybe the high priest would have been reminded of a song. One that comes to mind that I would think of is Psalm 15. I am going to turn there. Psalm 15 is short enough for me to read in its entirety during this message. David says here, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not charge, he who does not put out his hand, his money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Shall never be moved from that holy hill. Maybe that's what the high priest was thinking of. Maybe he could have never guessed that what he was doing would have been understood by us so many years later. He understood that he was only a type of what was to come, that the only reason why he could stand in that most holy place was sacrifice. Something innocent had to die so that he could go into that most holy place. That because that there was something that was coming later that would be symbolic of that high priest, that would fulfill that place in the temple, that holy place, forever. We all know who that is, but let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So because we have that sacrifice, we have that high priest, we can come boldly before that throne of grace. We have a high priest that can sympathize. He can sympathize with how hungry we are right now. Atonement makes us feel very human. But let's think, since we have this great high priest, I want to end or summarize with some words from that high priest or another scenario. Let's go to John 4. This is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. This will also tie the message kind of neatly into the offering message. John 4. That's a very common story. We see where Jesus Christ come to a well where a Samaritan woman's drawing water there. This is in Sychar, the Samaritan city. And Christ has a conversation with her, and she realizes who Christ is. I'm not going to read that entire story, but I like to picture Jesus Christ as at the end of this story, similar to what we were doing before. He's standing there and he's staring at this Samaritan city, this Sychar, that's full of people just like this woman who was a sinner, just a blatant sinner, lived a life of sin. And Jesus Christ kind of looks, stares at it, not despisingly, not begrudgingly, not full of hate, but he stares at it full of hope. And we see at the end of this, down in verse 31 of John 4, "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them," so Jesus Christ, like us, he's a little bit peckish. He hadn't eaten that day, and so they were looking at him, staring off, saying, maybe he's hungry. "Rabbi, eat." But Jesus Christ answered him in verse 32, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So they assumed that somebody had given him something to eat. Verse 33, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to him, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" So at the end of this day, we will feel very human, but we also feel very close to God. As we feel that the end of that hunger, the day of this coming to an end, we have to remember that Jesus, just like Jesus Christ felt when he was hungry, there's still a job to do. So with these things in mind, with these meanings of this day in mind, let's continue to have a great day of atonement, and let's keep them in mind as we take up an offering. So we will have offertory music now. It will be a piano solo performed by Miss Katie French. It'll be Mozart Sonata NC, the second movement.